It's 5 o'clock.
Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I am the real redistributionist of the truth. I'm going to give you your fair share because you're entitled to it. Well, there's a new batch of Hillary Clinton emails that appears to reveal she used another email address.
Surprise, surprise.
Huh. After telling us that no. There's nothing to see here. A newly released batch of Hillary Clinton emails appear to reveal that the Democrat presidential contender used a previously unheard-of email address to conduct official business while Secretary of State. Huh. What a coinky-dinky. Multiple emails published online by the State Department Tuesday night suggest Clinton used a BlackBerry email in several online exchanges. Her email was hr15@mysingular.blackberry.net. Now, a representative for Hillary's office did not immediately respond to a request for a comment, of course. A statement previously released from Clinton's office said she only used one address during her time at the State Department. Remember that? Remember the big press conference she had at the UN where she talked about, she only used one other one, and it was just because she was planning, things like her daughter's wedding, her mother's funeral, yoga classes. She'd never taken yoga classes. Give me a break. Here's the statement from her office. Secretary Clinton used one email account during her tenure at State, with the exception of her first weeks in office, while transitioning from an email account she had previously used, it said. Remember, she told us that she only had one device, she only wanted to use one device, and we found out that that wasn't true, that she actually had multiple devices, a couple different phones, iPad. Just like everybody else. Clinton served as Secretary of State from January 2009 to February of 2013. The hr15@mysingularblackberry.net address appeared to be used by Clinton up to 9 months after being sworn in. 9 months after being sworn in, she was still using this other email address. Now, of course, Hillary has drawn heavy criticism for using a private email server to conduct official business as Secretary of State. Critics have said the use of a private computer system raises both questions of security and transparency. Use of a BlackBerry address not on her personal server may raise more security questions since the Democrat contender would be unable to make assurances of its security. The new released emails also indicate David Axelrod, who served as senior advisor to Mr. Obama, knew about Clinton's private email account, despite previously claiming he was unaware of her private server. Earlier this month, officials from the State Department were unable to find 15 work-related emails from Clinton's private server. Does this surprise us at all, any of us, that this is happening? There are going to be more drips and drabs. And now, of course, there's a movement to draft Joe Biden to run. Bernie Sanders is getting some traction as well in crowds. I don't think it's a done deal with Hillary at all. She's the presumptive candidate for the Democrat nomination. But I really don't think that it's a done deal. National Review has a new video up today that asks if Americans really know about Hillary Clinton, if the voters really know what they're getting. After all, whenever the mainstream media talks about her in reverent tones, they can't stop telling voters how great she is, even as they lead into stories of scandal, fraud, lies, and deceit. Listen to this video that was put together by National
Review. Why Hillary Clinton this time around?
Well, there's probably no one who's ever run for the presidency that's more qualified than Hillary Clinton. She is the most experienced and the best qualified.
She's by far the best qualified person in America.
And by the way, thoroughly vetted.
She doesn't have to answer any questions right now.
She has scrubbed the server, and there are emails we'll never see.
She was supposed to have her emails separate to begin with. And then she wiped the server clean.
How can you get answers from the ones that were scrubbed?
If there's nothing to hide, why do they always act
like there is? I don't think they
are. Conflict of interest concerns have surfaced around presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Her nonprofit organization got millions of dollars from foreign donors while she was Secretary of State.
The biggest individual donations came from Ukraine.
Wouldn't it at least be fair to look into it and ask these questions about whether or not the giving of foreign money to a foundation that belonged to that family in any way influenced the action that person took as Secretary of State?
The Clintons have made $150 million over the past decade.
Sidney Blumenthal appeared to be running State Department business.
Mr. Blumenthal's involvement was more wide-ranging and more complicated than previously known.
Helping Hillary Clinton in a capacity that nobody knew about.
He's basically the personification of a Clinton insider.
And in all kinds of ways that bring up some very big concerns.
Advising Secretary Clinton on Libya while he had business interests there.
Bottom line here, Blumenthal sent intelligence to an alternate personal email account while being paid by the Clinton Foundation.
Several Gulf states have been donating money to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Foundation.
Tens and tens of millions of dollars from countries with atrocious human rights records.
Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Kuwait, and Brunei.
She's taken money from countries that abuse the rights of women.
All those countries have been criticized by the State Department for violating women's rights.
Are they expecting something in return?
Name one country on this planet in which we have a better relationship with them now than we did in January 2009.
She was the Secretary of State.
Her handling of Benghazi.
Sidney Blumenthal.
She wiped the server clean.
And we will never see them.
They decide they're not going to play by the same rules.
She has to answer some very significant questions.
So let the conversation begin. I have a feeling it's going to be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what Barbara Boxer had to say about that?
What?
They're going after Hillary Clinton because they know she's exciting the public.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why they're going after her. There's not a smidgen of scandal or corruption at all with Hillary. I don't see. You know, it's always interesting to me how the press will anoint someone, and especially the mainstream media, how they anoint people to be, you know, the favorite. But what's always interesting to me is that it's always the, like, for instance, you have the mainstream media that anointed Jeb Bush, right? And it's always, the liberal media that anoints the candidate, the establishment, Republican candidate as well. So, I think she's going to have major problems, because I think this is, the more this goes on, this is going to be a constant drip of information that comes out about her. You know, now we're learning that she used this other email account that was, after telling us that, no, she didn't have any other email account.
And you know, it's going to get nasty if she is the candidate.
Oh, yeah. Imagine. I just want Donald Trump to last long enough so that the two of them can you know, go at it. But I guess that would mean that he would be the nominee. But stranger things have happened. You had Barack Obama that was elected twice. So a college has just balked at Hillary Clinton's fee. And so they booked Chelsea for $65,000 instead. You see this story? This is in the Washington Post.
For like 10 minutes, 15 minutes or something?
University of Missouri at Kansas City was looking for a celebrity speaker to headline its gala luncheon, marking the opening of a Women's Hall of Fame. One of the names that came to mind was Hillary, when the former Secretary of State's representatives quoted a fee of $275,000, officials at the public university balked. So what the school did was they booked the next best option, Chelsea. Chelsea. They paid $65,000 for Chelsea to talk about poop, because that's her expertise.
That kills me.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly.
Diarrhea. That's her expertise. We've got Bob Ney, former congressman from Ohio, from Talk Radio News. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I don't know if you heard about this latest scandal with Hillary, that she's there's yet another email that she was using for up to 9 months after she became Secretary of State. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, she has multiple emails, and also including Rahm Emanuel, who was in the White House at the time. You know, these people were saying, well, we didn't know she was doing this. They knew it. They were receiving emails from her, and they knew it. So, you know, that all that's coming out. And some of the emails serve more, honestly, too, for an embarrassment purpose in the sense of, you know, what's in them.
Well, I just think that it's, you know, again, I think that there more and more is going to come out. And I'm wondering where this is coming from, whether it's coming from the White House or not.
I've thought about that, Edward.
Right?
You know, look, I don't care what they say. This goes back to where she said all kinds of things about him, and the White House hates Sidney Blumenthal.
They hate Sidney Blumenthal. And I don't think they've gotten over, and I don't think the Clintons necessarily, you know, love Mr. Obama either. And I think this goes back with Bill, you know.
Plus, it was an ego thing. You know, Obama really did have to seek some help from Bill Clinton when he ran against Romney, when, you know, Obama was running against Romney. He had to seek some help. Clinton kind of looked like the savior in there, and that was an ego bruiser.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just think that, again, this is going to more and more stuff is going to come out, I think, as time goes on. And, you know, she just, to me, and I've said this before, she doesn't have any kind of fire in the belly. She is such a horrible speaker. She's flat. She has no charisma. She's a terrible politician. You know,
she's off, as we say, she is off her square. She used to have it. Hey, at one point in time, you know what I'm saying? She had something there. She's off her square.
I don't think she ever had it, frankly. I mean,
in her younger days, you know, she's bossing the president around privately. And
well, there are stories of major battles in the White House.
Sure.
After the Monica Lewinsky thing. But, again, I think that was just motivated by the fact that she was pissed at Bill.
Well, I don't think it was a personal thing as much as she was worried about the White House, getting out of the White House.
Right, they didn't want to leave. And that's why, you know, and I think this whole thing is motivated by Bill. Bill just wants to get back in the White House and be able to have all the things that go with being in the White House, i.e. chicks, without having to be the president.
Well, Edward, you know and I know the mainstream media, the left, wants him back in there so bad. It will be entertainment purposes. They really do. They want him, you know, the first spouse in history, male, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're salivating over the thought. And it's really just the only reason they want her is because of him. And that's it.
Him.
Because if she stands alone, I mean, what are her accomplishments? I mean, just because you've been married to someone does not make you qualified to be the president of the United States, or just because
I've always argued if you got Bush and Hillary, people are going to sigh and say, oh, well, okay, well, you get Bill, entertainment purposes, and they go with Hillary.
Right, and then there are reports out now that that the apathy right now is going to be a big problem for the Democrat Party. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I saw that.
That story as well. That's the biggest problem for Democrats going forward. This was in Real Clear Politics, is that the voter turnout is going to be a problem for Democrats going forward. They're thinking because here's the bottom line here is when you win, once you win, you're losing. And when you lose, you're winning. In other words, you know, you can only go down, right?
Well, their problem is the low voter turnout. Our problem is stale leadership in the Congress. So, you know, hopefully their problem outweighs is worse than our problem.
Well, we shall see. All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
What difference at this point does it make?
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Central Dental Care, longtime 1100 supporter, is giving a special for new patients. Get a regular cleaning, x-rays, a whole mouth exam, and new you 30-minute teeth whitening for only $95, regularly $750. Serving Arizona for 13 years, Central Dental Care provides experienced, top-rated dentistry. Call 602-903-5935 to give yourself or someone you know a brighter smile. 602-903-5935 or visit centraldentalcare.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. If I feel alright, I'm not feeling that good myself.
So Democrat turnout in 16 is a risk factor, a new poll finds. This is the story in Real Clear Politics. Democrat voters are skeptics this summer. They doubt presidential contenders can deliver favored reforms from Washington, no matter how enticing the policy agendas sound. Those doubts depress enthusiasm about next year's White House contest and could impact turnout for the eventual Democrat nominee. Those were the early warnings in a survey released Monday of likely 2016 voters sponsored by Democracy Corps and Women's Voices, Women's Vote Action Fund. Americans want change and reforms, but people don't think any of this is going to happen. Really? Stan Greenberg, chairman and CEO of the polling firm Greenburn Quinlan Rosner Research, said during a roundtable discussion organized by the Christian Science Monitor, their skepticism doesn't turn on the idea of a Democratic nominee who would follow a two-term Democrat. It's because the old political system is uniquely corrupted in their eyes. What matters is how deep the critique people have about what's happening in the country, both politically and economically. Ew. See, Hillary Clinton is going to rely on the Obama coalition. But the Obama coalition consists of Obama. So I don't think she's going to be able to grab that coalition. And so I think Hillary has a big problem in that. But see, the Democrats have always had a problem with turnout, right? It was always that. That was always the case. Young people don't go to vote. Black people don't really go to the polls, and they did in record numbers. It was really white people that elected Barack Obama. There's this misnomer that it's black people, but it hasn't been. It's been. I just fail to see how Hillary is able to capture that coalition. So Chris Christie yesterday announced he's the 14th one. I think Chris Christie challenges George Pataki as the WTF candidate. He's polling at 2% right now. Okay. So he announced yesterday he's candidate for president with Bon Jovi blaring over the speakers. Chris Christie on Tuesday became the 14th Republican to join the race for the White House, vowing to fix the dysfunction of Washington, D.C. He said, "If Washington, Jefferson, and Adams have believed compromise is a dirty word, we'd still be under the crown of England," Christie said, offering himself as fixer who would speak bluntly about the country's problems. I thought we became free of England because of Washington, because they didn't compromise. That was rather odd that he said that. Another thing that he said was that I took issue with. He said Americans are filled with anxiety. They're filled with anxiety because they look at Washington, D.C. He said they're not filled with anger. No, I think you're wrong, dude.
I think so too.
I think they're very angry. It's not anxiety, it's anger. But a staggering 55% of Republican primary voters say they cannot envision voting for Mr. Christie. He also seems to be interested in locking up the Rodney King vote. You know, can't we all get along? That vote. I think his time has passed.
I think you're right.
I think that voters have moved on. I think that 2012 was the opportunity for him. But think about what a fall from grace for Chris Christie. You remember in 2012, everybody was talking about him. That he was a likely successor. They loved him. The media loved him. The Republican establishment loved him. The base even liked him.
I think when he started going downhill is when Obama visited him after Sandy, and they embraced, and he called him, you know, this and that.
The hug. The hug. That was a big problem for him, I think. I think that you're right. But I can, and also, he's not even in his own state. Listen to this. He has a 30% approval rating in New Jersey. In New Jersey. And I don't think that's going to translate into anything in the rest of the country. He's at 2% right now. I mean, Carly Fiorina is ahead of him. Donald Trump's ahead of him. I mean, there's a lot of people. He's in Pataki territory right now. I think Pataki has 1%, so he beats Pataki a little bit. Chris Christie. I mean, it's like all these people now that have announced it's just become like this dog and pony show. You know, none of these guys have a chance, frankly. I mean, I can't even keep up. And yet, you know, the Democrats basically have just won, which is Hillary.
Yeah, they're all on the stump except Hillary. And you know what President Reagan had to say about being on the stump, right?
Which was, go ahead.
But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area, and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped, and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
I just, you know, all these guys that are running. Here's another one, Lindsey Graham, okay? Lindsey Graham does this interview with Alex Wagner that is just bizarre. They take a gondola ride, okay?
Okay, so I am in a gondola going up the hills of Aspen with Senator Lindsey Graham.
I hate heights.
What about the First Lady thing? I mean, Facebook wants to know who's on your top 10 list. Do you have, like, a dream list?
No, I haven't really thought much about that other than...
I'm sure there are a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, too. And here's what I'm trying to say. Listen, I'm single. A lot of people are.
Yep.
There's nothing about being single that keeps you from being a good leader. So all the single people out there, I want you to make sure that you, too, can grow up to be president.
What's the best part of running for president so far?
You get to see the country and how beautiful it is. You know what the worst possible thing about being running for president is?
What's that?
You just get to see it from a car.
Oh, the single ladies. He was asked about his bromance with John McCain. But this is the best one. Alex Wagner asked him about his nickname. They did like a little word association thing. Here we go. Let me see if I can get this to play. Of course, it's not doing it. All right. Alex Wagner asked, "What was your nickname as a kid?" And he said, "Stinkball." Stinkball? Alex Wagner pressed him, "Please tell us why." He said, "When I was a kid, we owned a bar, and when people would go to the restroom, I'd drink their beer." He is bizarro. Okay? All these candidates, I got to tell you. Like, did you even think about Lindsey Graham when you think about people running?
No. Lindsey who?
Lindsey Graham. George, what about George Pataki?
No.
John Kasich.
No, he's not even in yet.
Yeah, but he's going to go. I don't even understand all these guys, why they want to get in. What? I guess you're going to increase your speaking fee. This is just an audition for a show on Fox. Is that the deal? Because that's the only reason. You're going to write a book. You increase your speaking fees. I mean, they could only help to get $65,000 like Chelsea. Imagine that. You need $65,000, Steve, for talking about poop. Because that's her expertise. She talks about diarrhea and dysentery. And we need clean water. Don't you like clean water? Don't you want clean air? Don't you like puppies? All right, if you have a business and you want to advertise, advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. Radio reaches more people than pretty much anything. So give me a call, 305-528-3552. That's 305-528-3552. 3552 and advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. We'll be right back.
I'm using my own money. I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care. I'm really rich.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky.
I just sued Univision.
Donald Trump taking action, suing as promised.
For $500 million. It was just filed. The papers were just filed.
The Republican candidate for president, a guest on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, defending what he says about Mexico. Blaze Radio's Tom Peace picks up the story.
The billionaire businessman and GOP presidential candidate says Univision has no right to terminate a five-year contract to air the pageant and that the real victims are the contestants.
We have 50 of the most lovely women you've ever seen right now in Louisiana, and they have been abandoned by NBC and abandoned by Univision.
Trump appearing on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, the Spanish-language TV network, saying last week it would drop the pageant broadcast over what it calls Trump's offensive comments about Mexican immigrants, Trump making the comments when he announces he's running for the Republican presidential nomination.
A Ten Commandments statue in the news.
The Oklahoma Supreme Court announcing that a monument to the Ten Commandments at the state capitol grounds has to go. The justices voting 7-2 that the monument violates the state's constitutional ban on the use of state property for the benefit of religion. The monument stands about 6 feet tall and was paid for with private money. Lawmakers trying to get around the religion issue by saying it was meant to mark a historical event. The High Court says the Ten Commandments are obviously religious in nature. In Oklahoma City, Greg Moore, The Blaze News.
And President Obama reportedly ready to announce details of an agreement to restore diplomatic ties with Cuba.
The announcement will include the timing of the reopening of the U.S. Embassy in Havana. President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry will tell Americans how they've been working to normalize relations with the communist Cuba. Many Republican lawmakers say this is the wrong move for the U.S. as long as Cuba is a communist country. Brad James, The Blaze News.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio.
Andrew Ashcraft.
Ceremonies in Yarnell and Prescott honoring the 19 Granite Mountain hotshot firefighters who died 2 years ago Tuesday fighting the Yarnell Hill Fire.
As tragic as it all was, the 19 firefighters is beyond what we can deal with.
Hundreds gathering in front of the Yavapai County Courthouse steps, observing a moment of silence at the moment the firefighters perished in 2013. FBI and Homeland Security warning Americans to stay vigilant ahead of 4th of July observances. Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton urging people to go and enjoy their holiday.
I don't want any family out there to be concerned about safety as they come to Red, White, and Boom on July 2nd at Maryvale Park, or to Steele Indian School Park for our big 4th of July celebration on the night of the 4th of July.
Stanton saying police are in contact with the FBI and DHS. All Arizona cities coordinating efforts to keep people safe. Geico weather, more storm activity overnight. Hot and unsettled weather again today. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic and service of Unbound. If you're traveling eastbound on the I-10, you're going to find some slowing around 59th Avenue all the way into the tunnel. Look for a wreck off to the side downtown, westbound I-10 at 16th Street. And in the southeast valley, the HOV lane is blocked westbound US 60 at Dobson. Unbound sponsors fight poverty by strengthening human connections and nurturing independency. That's just one way. Unbound is different. Learn more at unbound.com.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for the rest of the morning, Utility mostly cloudy with a low of around 84, weather winds to 15 miles an hour. Heading into the first day of July, Utility mostly sunny. Our high 106 as winds gust to 25 miles an hour. It's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday afternoon. Utility mostly sunny and breezy with a high 107. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently we're at 86 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So David Brooks, the conservative writer for the New York Times, said that lowering the Confederate flag from public properties is an easy call. The harder call concerns Robert E. Lee. Should schools and other facilities be named after the great Confederate general, or should his name be removed and replaced? The case for Lee begins with his personal character. It is almost impossible to imagine a finer and more considerate general, a gentleman. So David Brooks is basically wondering whether or not we need to get rid of things like Washington and Lee University in the name. Andrew Young had an interesting take. Andrew Young, the former mayor of Atlanta, civil rights leader that marched with Martin Luther King, and was also ambassador, had this to say.
It flies at Stone Mountain, a symbol for some of past or perhaps even present attitudes of intolerance. What is Andrew Young's take on efforts to remove Confederate symbols?
Just like the flag doesn't answer anything. I would never trade the flag for a single job. The problems we face don't have anything to do with the flag. The fact is that 93% of the black people killed are killed by other black people. So if black lives matter, let us start believing that we matter.
Right. Instead of worrying about...
Exactly. That's Andrew Young. He doesn't care about the flag. Flag is meaningless. Because the flag is a
symbol. We know that.
Yeah. This is just... Look, this is just a... A distraction from everything else that's going on. And now there is a group in New York that let me get this. This group in New York that wants to now burn the American flag.
Wait a minute. Johnson family.
Okay, wait a minute. Sorry about that. There's a group that wants to burn the American flag. Okay, for ahead of the 4th of July. Yeah. And we said that this was coming, right? Rush Limbaugh said it right after the controversy, and everybody was like, oh, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. But for a lot of people, the American flag is the problem. The American flag is the symbol of oppression. So there's a group... calling for the immediate disarmament of the New York Police Department, number one, and they want to burn the American flag in Brooklyn. Disarm NYPD announced the Burn the Flags event on Facebook. They want to go to Fort Greene Park and set fire to the symbol of oppression. Organizers say accused Charleston shooter Dylan Roaf wasn't an isolated actor, but a product of a consistent pattern of state-sponsored terrorism and radicalized dehumanization in America. The event originally was aimed at burning the Confederate flag, but later changed to focus on the Stars and Stripes. Burn the American flag. They said that we do not believe the ideals of America are anything to be revered. So then why are they here?
Well, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Why are they here? I don't get it. I just honestly. And then there's a new movement afoot now. I don't know if you've seen this. Where they go on Facebook and they post videos of people stomping on the flag. That's the latest thing. Stomping on the flag. All righty then. I just don't see where that gets you, you know? Greece. Greece became the first developed country to default on the International Monetary Fund. They were, yesterday was the deadline for their first payment. I think it was $1.8 billion payment. Now, this is the first developed country. This is funny, though. When I read this article, they said that the last country to do it was Zimbabwe. So, congratulations, Greece. You're right up there with Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe in 2001, I guess they also defaulted. I guess Argentina isn't considered a developed country. Is that right? Because Argentina's, you know, defaulted like 3 or 4 times. I guess they're not considered a developed country. Greece is more developed. So the prime minister, remember the prime minister of Greece, he was voted into office largely because of the fact that he was this anti-austerity guy. He's a socialist. And he was voted into office because he promised that he wasn't down with this austerity. Because the IMF and the people at the Euro were telling him, listen, you guys got to make cuts. You've got to make cuts in your spending. You know, in Greece you can retire at 50.
Must be nice.
That's insane. And so what's happened now is they've defaulted. The prime minister, you know, had set a vote for Sunday, for this coming Sunday on the July 5th. That doesn't look like it's going to happen now. He's now hinted that he's gonna cancel the vote, and the whole reason for him being the prime minister was that he was going to negotiate and he was going to make the euro blink, and that didn't happen. The euro has people in the eurozone have held fast, and they're like, no, you need to pay us back, and if you want, and all they were doing. See, here's the thing: they owed this money. And they were going to extend the time to pay if Greece would agree to some cuts in their spending. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep the party going. We're not going to make any cuts. And we're not going to pay you. I mean, the IMF was going to extend the loan if they just agreed to certain things. And this guy became the prime minister, you know, largely on the fact that he said, you know, no, we're not going to do that. And so now where does this leave him? More than likely, he's probably going to have to resign.
They took away his credit card.
They took away his credit card. And now he's going to probably have to resign. And then what? Who's going to want to be the prime minister of Greece? You want that job? No, thanks. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, yesterday, the market just, and I knew this was going to happen. You and I talked about this. The market was up like 23 points yesterday. So it basically made back the losses from the day before. It basically yawned the market. But today, as I was driving in here, I noticed China is down 5% this morning already. So they continue their free fall. Puerto Rico is a big deal. Puerto Rico is $72 billion, as we said yesterday.
Especially to us, U.S. taxpayers.
Correct. The thing about Greece is their economy is the size of Oregon. I read yesterday. So the question is Greece the beginning of some type of contagion in Europe? The key is going to be, and this is what we need to watch out for, is going to be whether or not the people in Portugal, Italy, Spain, whether the rest of the pigs, as they're called, are going to start to freak out. They're going to start pulling their money out. You know, again, I heard yesterday, oh, they're, you know, it's not a big deal. It's going to be fine for the euro. I mean, look, Greece was probably the weakest link. Let's be honest.
Well, you know, those other countries you mentioned are certainly sitting up and taking notice, watching what's going on.
Sure, but I mean, again, it could go either way because, you know, why would you want to, you know, they were going to extend the loan. They were going to give them more money. That's, you know, it's insane to me. So today, today's the 5th, the deadline for the Iran deal came and went, by the way. Nobody's talking about it, in the administration at least. But there was, apparently Iran secretly passed to the White House beginning in late 2000 names of prisoners it wanted released from U.S. custody, part of a wish list to test Mr. Obama's commitment to improving ties. Now, how come we didn't give out, we didn't give them a list? Aren't there prisoners being held? This guy's got to be the worst negotiator of all time. Seriously.
I read where, yeah, the president said, we're going to continue to negotiate the deal even though we have requested the release. We will do it in spite of the release.
See, there's no red lines mean nothing. Deadlines mean nothing to this guy. Seriously. And everybody knows it. It's the, you know, if you're going to put down an ultimatum, guess what? You need to abide by the ultimatum or else you're the boy that cried wolf. And that's basically what Mr. Obama is. He's the little boy that cried wolf. And so our enemies don't fear us and our allies are perplexed, to say the least. So another deadline come and gone. We'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh, yeah. I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
I've been talking with small business owners about hiring people, and they say, you know, I post my job somewhere, and I either get nothing, or I get a bunch of resumes, but they're not qualified. So how do I find qualified candidates? There doesn't seem to be an easy way to do this, but there's a new service that's making this process a lot easier for you. It's called ProJob Network. You just tell them who you need to hire, and they post your job opening on 40 different websites. It would take you forever to do that yourself. And then in about a day, maybe two, depending on the type of job, you have a list of qualified local candidates that you can choose from. If you're hiring, I'm telling you, this is the way to do it. You'll save time, money, you'll find good employees. These guys are doing a 1 week free trial right now. You can get your jobs posted, start getting some qualified candidates. It's completely free, no obligation. So to get your free trial, just go to postmyjobforfree.com. Postmyjobforfree.com. Again, that's postmyjobforfree.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So Donald Trump is now suing Univision for $500 million. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I have no doubt that he'll be successful in this lawsuit, or they'll have to settle with him. Okay? Because I'm sure he's got an ironclad contract. And this is what he does. He sues people when they break contracts. We've got the little soundbite from the Donald.
I think they're weak, and I think they're afraid.
Did you talk to anybody over there about that? Did anybody?
Executive? Yes, I did.
Who'd you talk to?
Top people. They called me. I don't want to say.
Come on.
Top people. I don't want to say. It'll come out. It'll come out in litigation. In fact, speaking of litigation, I just sued Univision for $500 million. It was just filed. The papers were just filed. So that'll be interesting to see how that. Because Univision, I have a signed contract for 5 years on the pageants. They have no right to terminate, and they terminated. And they didn't even send me a letter. They terminated with a PR statement. So they called me also, and one of the top people at Univision, so apologetic. Donald, we shouldn't be doing this. I know that. We'll pay you whatever money you need or whatever money you want. They have a five-year contract without termination, and they terminated with a PR statement. So we just sued them for $500 million. And I'll tell you something, what's really sad, both on behalf of NBC and also Univision. We have 50 of the most lovely women you've ever seen right now in Louisiana, and they have been abandoned by NBC and abandoned by Univision.
So, what I find is interesting is that they waited like 10 days. You know, they were so outraged that they waited. You know, Univision and NBC. So we'll see how that plays out. It'll be interesting. You know, in the wake of gay marriage now, here are some helpful tips for gay marriage etiquette by our friends Key and Peele from Comedy Central. They put together this little video for us.
Welcome, Johnson family. Now we all know why we're here. Cousin Delroy is getting married. To a man, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And we're in support, and we just need a little help with the particulars of a gay wedding. What I done is I took the initiative to get my friend Gary in here, he's not really my friend, he's a coworker of mine, who happens to be active member of the homosexual community.
Oh.
And he's going to give us some advice on what to do. So, Gary, what can we expect?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks so much for having me here. And I think it's really amazing what you guys are doing for your cousin Delroy. Really, I just wanted to say basically that a gay wedding is just like a straight wedding. Yes, sir.
So then do the men wear dresses and then the women would wear suits?
No. You would just wear exactly what you would wear at a straight wedding.
Oh, okay. Now, none of us are gay, so I assume that we would all sit then in the straight section.
The straight section?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the straight section, he means as opposed to the gay section.
No, there's no sections, guys.
But the gay people.
No. What you would just sit
and in the straight.
No, Larry, listen to
but
me.
But in the aisle.
You would just sit on the side of the person that you were friends with or that your family's members, just like in a straight wedding.
So we just guess who's gay.
Or not. You could just.
We guess who's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guess
Now, when in the ceremony do we sing Over the Rainbow?
Well, you don't. You don't. This is a religious ceremony, so you wouldn't be singing that during the service.
All right. No, I'm just asking.
I'm nervous because I can only do jazz hands for about 3 minutes before my hands start to cramp.
Oh, sir, I don't think anyone's going to expect you. I don't think anyone's going to expect you to have to do jazz hands.
Now, can we see the pony show from the straight section, or are we way in the back somewhere?
Ma'am, again, there's no straight section. What is a pony show?
You know, when y'all go like this.
No, there won't be any of this during the ceremony.
When do we sing YMCA?
Oh, sir, not during the ceremony.
Okay.
What about Macho Macho Man?
Nope.
I don't know where to buy no gay presents.
Well, I don't know what a gay present is. Usually what couples do is they just register at a store. Like a straight couple would.
Is it a gay store? Or?
Just a regular store.
Where do you get the euros to buy gay gifts?
Are you saying euros? You wouldn't use euros.
No, it's a good question, Finney. We should make some eye contact so we make sure that the communication's happening.
Yeah.
I think he wants to know, is it like a different currency, or is it more like camel cash?
No, just good old-fashioned U.S. dollars. Yep.
Do we have to participate in the anal sex?
Oh!
Or can we just watch and cheer in a fireman's hat?
No, there's no anal sex and no fireman's hat.
Oh, okay.
Cunnilingus. Is that a question, sir?
When do we get to sing It's Raining Men, Hallelujah, It's Raining Men?
You don't.
So there's no gay hymns in the ceremony?
Sir, there's no such thing as a gay hymn.
Well, does the fake priest look like a real priest or like a nun?
It's going to be a real priest.
Or?
No, there's no or.
Is it a sexy boat captain? Then it takes his clothes off.
Oh.
What? No, no.
Do we throw something other than rice?
Like what, sir? What would you throw other than rice?
I don't know. Couscous, Skittles.
Guys, a gay wedding is just like a straight wedding, okay? It's exactly the same.
But when they kiss, is it okay to stand up and say, ew?
No, it's not, because that would be homophobic.
This from the man who won't allow gay hymns at the gay wedding.
Okay, but like an involuntary gasp.
I would just, I guess, try to curb that behavior.
Okay, I'll look away then.
Oh, my God.
Now, is RuPaul going to be there?
No, I don't think Delroy knows RuPaul.
Neil Patrick Harris?
No.
Ooh, Doogie.
What if you don't want your picture on the internet?
This is ridiculous!
Gary, ridiculous. Is that a gay term?
Okay, yep, I'll show myself out.
Oh, he's this a little testy, isn't he?
He can go.
Good luck. Let's go, Stefan.
Well, there you have it. In case there was any questions whatsoever, those are some helpful hints to navigate the new etiquette for gay marriage. You got that, Steve?
I got it.
You got that? That's Key and Peele. You can never be too prepared in this world that we live in. In this crazy upside-down world that we live in now, where you need to be prepared for all this stuff, okay? You know? I'm just trying to be helpful. That was a public service announcement from the Edward Woodson Show. All right, we're out of time for the day, but check out my website, edwardwoodson.com. And if you missed today's show and you want to listen to other past shows, go to woodsonarchive.com. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give your fair share of the truth, because you deserve it. Good day, America. I'm out.
Get out of here, you low-life scum.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
Have you ever been one of those unhappy customers that walked away thinking, if I ran that business, I know what I'd do? Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the law firm Cordell & Cordell. I felt that way years ago after my divorce, but I never did discard those ideas. And today, that vision forms the foundation of the firm that you know as Cordell & Cordell. And basically, that vision was a divorce firm dedicated to serving men with a client-centered focus on the things that clients value most, such as attorney preparation, regular client updates, and same-day return calls. And in turn, this results-focused operating system would be monitored by a client care representative. The result, a truly interactive link between our performance and your satisfaction. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Call Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Arizona attorneys. 602-995-6666. 7150 East Camelback Road, Suite 444, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85251.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather, this is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of space, the history of the NASA logo. The blue NASA logo, designed in 1959 and more commonly referred to as the meatball, the NASA insignia contains the following elements. The